Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Our Father God is a healer who makes all things new. We are different today than we were yesterday because God gave us a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more growth that only He can do. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so we should say every day, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new day. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to get out of bed, to move, hallelujah, to live. Because we are yours and you are ours. We are blessed to be children of God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Because I was sleeping real good. Hallelujah, sleeping real good this morning. I went to bed last night with the television on and woke up this morning with the television on as it watched me sleep because I slept real good. So I'm thankful that God woke me up this morning. I'm thankful that He gave me another day, that He gave me an opportunity for a do-over. And I pray that today is better than yesterday, that I accomplished more today than I did yesterday. Because when God is in it, there's no limit to what we can do. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, filled up, Lord, thankful, grateful, and blessed to have a new day. Thankful, grateful, and blessed that you gave me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a voice to speak. To see, to hear, and to understand your word, Lord God. I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord, are my strength and my redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that I lift up this word, that those that hear it will be blessed, that those that hear it live, that those that hear it later will feel your presence, Lord God. And will make room for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I can't always do it because some mornings I oversleep. But this morning I was able to get on another call where I listen. And it's called Morning Glory Nation. And I thank Pastor Frederick Wilson again for giving me my start in this thing that we do called Blog Talk Radio. I thank him because I started basically being a Morning Glory speaker, and I'm thankful that I got the opportunity to learn from Pastor Fred. And I thank again, as I get into and get ready to go into a new year, Prophetess Diana Shaw. Through her ministry, I was able to start Blog Talk Radio as a new beginning as a member of her radio group. So I am thankful for those that have brought me to this place. You know, so many times we forget to thank the folks that brought you to the dance, as they say. You know, we want to do us, and we forget to say thank you. So I thank God for all the ministers in my life. I thank God for my coverage, which is my pastor, Jesse Herring and Paul Herring. I thank God for Table of Life Ministries. We all need a covering. Whatever ministry you do, you still need someone to minister to you. We got to minister to each other. And so I'm thankful that I have a pastor that believes, that trusts God, that knows that everything is going to happen for our good. And that we have to trust each other as we trust in the Lord. So I thank God this morning for his grace and for his mercy toward each and every one of us. For this is truly the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And as you know, this is Friday, and this is Old Testament Word Day. So we will be in the Old Testament today, and then on Sunday, we will be in Revelations. And all I can say is, So today we are starting a new book. And it's one of, I think, three books. Two in the Old Testament, I believe this one two in the New Testament and this one in the Old Testament, one chapter books. And in this little one chapter book, let me say this, Obadiah gets down. He shows out. He shows out. You know, you don't have to have a whole lot of words to get what you got to say across. Don't have to. Obadiah's like, hey, I got something to say. Let me say it. Let me get it out. Let me be done with it. Because y'all need to hear what I got to say. You know, God sends a prophet every time he needs something that needs to be said. He sends a prophet. And his prophets, they don't play. They tell you like it is, and like it is, it is. And whether you like to hear it or don't, it doesn't matter. Because what God has to say, God's going to say it. It may take one chapter, may take 145. Whatever it is, God's got to say, he's going to say it, and he's going to use a prophet to speak it. All through the word, these prophets were powerful. They went through some stuff. They went through some stuff, but they all came out with a story. They all came out with what thus says the Lord. We have an opportunity to listen, or we don't. Understand, when you don't, you mess up. You know, this morning on Morning Glory Nation, Pastor Few, all he said was, we need to learn how to make room for God. Are you making room for God this morning? If you're listening to this blog, you are making room for God. You're giving him an hour of your time to listen to his word. And you can speak. All you have to do is push the number one on your phone. If there's a prophet out there, a prophetess, that God has given the word that needs to go out, push the number one. Call a prophet if you need to, and tell him to call 213-943-3597 if he has a word from God. Don't get on and talk a bunch of foolishness, because I will cut you off. But if you got a word from God, I will leave that line open for you. You know, when we talk about one chapter words, you know, you got Jude, which we just read earlier this week. And, of course, Obadiah, the word we're reading today. And John chapter 3. So you had John, 3 John and Jude, one chapter words. Just one. Sometimes, as they say, John chapter 2 John, 3 John. And Jude, and Obadiah, one chapter books of the Bible, because they were letters. You know, when you write a letter, sometimes you got to be concise. And Philemon was another one, so there's four right there. You know, I knew it was like I said two or three, but it's actually four, maybe five. But the bottom line is that we are all children of God, and we got to walk in our calling. And let us pray again this morning, because prayer just seems to be coming out. Father God, I'm lifting up the nations of this world today, asking you, Lord God, to guide us. Things are so upside down, Lord. So many hatreds and authoritarian dictatorships. All kind of things going on, Lord, that are not like you. Our children being hurt. Our children going hungry all over this planet. And Father God, I ask you to guide us in what we should do, in being kind and helpful, and bringing hope in the future. For Lord God, you are in charge. And I pray again for the people that have been devastated all over this planet by natural events such as hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and tsunamis and all kinds of natural disasters. Flooding. I ask you, Lord God, to please, please watch over your children. Guide us and lead us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I just needed to take that moment. I felt in my spirit we need to pray for our planet. We live here. And I can tell weather systems are all over the place. As a person that has issues with my sinuses and bronchitis, every time the weather switches and changes, I can feel it in my head. I can feel it in my ears. I just feel it, that there's an atmospheric change going, and we need to pray without ceasing, family. Prayer warriors unite. You know, we got to be avengers for our planet by praying, because we know that the sneaky snake is busy. But we also know he can only do what God allows. So who do we pray to? We pray to God to throw a cease and desist on the little vermin, a cease and desist on the snake. Because what is he doing walking to and fro, creating confusion and havoc all over this world? And we have to pray. And this is what the author Obadiah said. And this is what our 10 words or less says about Obadiah. Obadiah, perhaps a person by the name of an unnamed prophet, of whom Obadiah means servant of God, is a title. Unclear the date, but probably within 30 years after Babylon's invasion of Judah in 586 BC, in 10 words or less, this one chapter of the Bible book says, Edom will suffer for participating in Jerusalem's destruction. Damn. Details, please. Edom was a nation descended from Esau, twin brother of Jacob, the patriarch of Israel. The baby boys had struggled in their mother's womb, Genesis 25, 21 through 26, and their conflict had continued over the centuries. After Edom took part in the Babylonian ransacking of Jerusalem, Obadiah passed down God's judgment, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Quotable. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Obadiah 1 and 17. The unique and unusual about Obadiah. Obadiah is shortest book, only one chapter and 21 verses. So what? Obadiah shows God's faithfulness to his people. This prophecy is a fulfillment of God's promise from generations earlier. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. Genesis 12 and 3. Say it again. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. Genesis 12 and 3. And our title this morning is also coming out, not out of Obadiah, it's coming out of Psalms this morning. But our word, no, actually it is coming out of Obadiah this morning. But it's it says, as you have done, it shall be done to you. As you have done, it shall be done to you. I'm going to say it one more time. So it as they say, it gets clicks. As you have done, it shall be done to you. How do you treat your fellow man? How do you treat your mother? How do you treat your father? How do you treat your sisters and your brothers? How do you treat others? Whatever you do, it will be done to you. What does it say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God's word, not mine. And this is what it says in Obadiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And it says this, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord. And a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The bride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to a border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men of demons shall be dismayed to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. And that's our title for this morning. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drink on my holy mountain, So shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never seen, never been. But on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. In other words, what you stole from my son, from my children, shall be given back. What the devil stole from you, God's going to give it back. And it goes on to say, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them. And no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captives of this host, children of Israel, shall possess the land of Canaanites as far as Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Then survivors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hallelujah. And life lessons from Obadiah. Like I said, one chapter, one book. Shortest book in the Old Testament. And it says this, Obadiah verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. God hates pride, not only because it imagines itself a rival to God, but also because it blinds and deceives, because it cannot see or accept the truth. It walks off of cliffs and runs into brick walls. A prideful man or prideful woman, they don't understand that before all that pride, all and prideful people bring a whole bunch of folks with them to destruction. Bring a whole bunch of people to the pit right along with them. God is not wanting you in the pit, but if you keep falling after prideful folks that would make you think a truth is a lie and a lie is a truth, be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful who you go and sit under. You know, if you got a pastor so full of pride that they don't want nothing but for themselves, and you love them so much that you give, that you have not even a bowl of soup yourself. And when you go and ask, they don't have nothing for you. Don't have nothing for you. Tell you to go to the welfare folks. Tell you to go talk to social services. But themselves, they don't give out of their pocket for anybody. But they always got their hand open for you to give to them. You can't even come into their house. Come on now. You can't come to their country clubs. You can't come to their hotels. They don't want you going where they go. They don't want you on their private plane. Because you're just one of many that they are grifting. Pride. Pride, pride, pride. So prideful that they think they are God, because they can get you to do anything they want you to do. Think that through. As I say, no names, please. God knows who they are, but he wants us to be aware and not fall for the sheep clothes covering that nasty, snarling wolf called pride. And Obadiah 15 says, as you have done it, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. That's our word for this morning. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Every time you think about doing something wrong, just remember, what you think you're getting away with shall be done to you. If you being the sneaky snake, it shall be done to you. And when folks do stuff to you, don't worry about it. God's already got them covered. Because what they did to you, it will be done to them. If they lied on you, somebody's going to lie on them. If they did dirt to you, stole from you, talked about you, lied on you, everything you do to somebody else will be done to you. And you need to back up and keep your tongue behind your teeth. And it says repeatedly in Scripture, God says that he will use a man's own sin against him in judgment. He made a pit and dug it out, said David, of the wicked, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. Saul chasing after David like he's a fox, and they are the hounds. How many times David had opportunity to kill him, but didn't? And every time he said, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And then what happened? He wound up dead. Because he chased and chased and chased and chased and chased until finally God says enough. How many times has David saved your life? And how many times have you tried to take it? God is keeping count. You don't have to. You don't have to worry about anything. God's got you covered. All you have to do is walk in righteousness. And love the Lord your God with all your heart. And this is a life example from Dr. Stanley, and it's coming out of our words for Sunday, and I'm not going to touch it. So it goes on, and we're going to get our Psalms after we get the chapters in the Old Testament that we need to hit this morning, and then we'll come back and do our Psalms so we can do it all together. And we are going into another book, another hand clap, y'all. Jonah. Y'all know Jonah. That little reluctant prophet. Oh, my goodness. Let's find out about Jonah. It says Jonah. Author, unclear, the story of Jonah, but it's written in a third person. And it says approximately 760 B.C., Jonah prophesied against the reign of Israel's king, Jeroboam II. This is 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 to 25, who ruled from about 793 to 753 B.C. In 10 words or less, reluctant prophet running from God is swallowed by giant fish. Details, please. God tells Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh, capital of the brutal Assyrian Empire. Jonah disobeys, sailing in the opposite direction toward a rendezvous with literacy and mortality. A storm rocks Jonah's ship, and he spends 3 days in a giant fish's belly before deciding to obey God after all. When Jonah preaches Nineveh repents and God spares the city from the destruction he threatened. But the prejudiced Jonah pouts. The story ends with God proclaiming his concern, even for vicious pagans. Quotable, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2, chapter 2, verse 9. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. 4:11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Unique and unusual. Jonah's prophecy didn't come true because of Nineveh's repentance. So what? God loves everyone, even the enemies of his chosen people. As Romans 5 and 8 said, God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And understand, you have folks that say, well, you know, God hates this and God hates that. God does not hate. God loves. But he does not like some stuff folks do. But God will send a prophet to help you. Many pagans change from paganism to Christianity because of the apostles, because of the prophets that God sent into their nations. God is speaking to us today to repent. We don't want any more tornadoes or earthquakes or hurricanes hitting our land, floods. We need to repent and come back to our first love, which is God, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are going into Jonah, so please join me in Jonah. For those that have the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, I am in New King James, and I am on page 1526. For those that want to join me if they have the Bible, again, page 1526. And we are on the December 18th word, which is our Saturday word. So we will do the 18th and 19th in the Old Testament. And then on Sunday, we will do Revelations for the 17th, 18th, and 19th. For those that are wondering, where is she going? That's where I'm going. So Jonah chapter 1. And it says this, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you? The sea may be calm for us. For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous, some words are just not great in the morning, against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, but you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your bellows and your waves passed over me.
Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth. From the greatest to the least of them, then word came to the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Chapter 4 of Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, oh Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You know, you had that, take me now. Attitude, what a selfish prophet. I want what you can give me, but I don't want them to live. Let them die. I don't want to go prophesy over there. I know that if they change their ways, you're going to relent. I don't want, I always doing that. God, he be doing too much. You know, Jonah was a mess. But he don't understand. Did God not save your life when you was doing wrong? Did he not save your life when you were being disobedient? Did he not save your life when you repented? Jonah don't see that. All he's saying is that he thinks Nineveh got away with something, and that God relented on them when he was ready to watch them be destroyed. And then this is what God says. And then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, that he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm and so damaged it that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. He done said that twice now. You know what? Don't speak death upon yourself. And that's what Jonah was doing. He was speaking death upon himself. It's better for me to die than to live. Don't speak death. Speak life upon yourself. Speak life upon yourself. And then it says, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. Third time. He spoke death of himself. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? In other words, you was over here whining and complaining about a plant, but you couldn't have any compassion for 120,000 people that would have perished had you not prophesied. Jonah had a selfish streak and a prideful streak in him that he could see past his own prejudice, his own bigotry. We got to come out of the four walls and quit being so high-minded that we are no earthly good. And this is what the life lessons from Jonah were. Actually, we have enough time to go into our next word, which is another new book. And it is not Micah. I love Micah. I love Micah the child, and I love Micah the book. So join me in Micah chapter 1. And it says this, the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moreset in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear all you peoples, listen, O earth, and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? It is not Samaria. And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones onto the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathers it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches, for her wounds are incurable to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people to Jerusalem. Tell it not in Gath, weep not at all in Beth Ephrah. Roll yourselves in the dust, pass by in naked shame, you inhabitants of Shephar, inhabitants of Zanan. Look, does not go out. Beth Israel mourns. A place to stand is taken away from you. For the inhabitants of Moab, Ben, pined for good, but disaster came down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem, O inhabitant of Lachish. Harness the chariots to the swift steed. She was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion. For the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Therefore you shall give presents to Moreset Gath. The house of Ekzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. I will yet bring on her an heir to you, an inhabitant of Moreset. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of your precious children. Enlarge your boldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity. Chapter 2 of Micah. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil and mourning like they practice it, because it is in the power of their seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, against this family from which you cannot remove your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily. But this is a day one shall take up a proverb against you and lament with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the inheritance of my people. How he has removed it from me to a turncoat. He has divided our fields. Therefore, you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not prattle, you say, in those who prophesy, so they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, in the spirit of the Lord restricted, are these his doings. Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? Lately my people have risen up as you pull off the rope, for no trust you as they pat by. In terms bless the houses from their children. You have taken away my glory forever. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy. Yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of one drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their key will pass before them. But the Lord is at hand, and I say it. Hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you who is of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. Thus says the Lord concerning the who make my people straight, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against them, who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore you shall have a night without vision, and you darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed,
as the divine is abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression. And now, hear this, rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity, her heads just for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? I'm going to read that one more time. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay. And her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? For prophetic words in 2995. Make sure you have the 95 sent to $190.95. And if you like, send $2,900.99. And I'll send you a prophetic word and some prayer oil or prayer rug. Come on now. God has just told us about these folks. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. And that is our word this morning from the Old Testament. And we're going to go back and hit some life lessons from our Old Testament word and from Micah and Jonah. From Jonah, we get this life lesson. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Jonah knew that his own disobedience had put the ship in peril, and yet he would rather die than return to the land and obey God's command. But God does not give up so easily on us, and he had a fish ready to prove it. Jonah 1:16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vow. God inspires prophecy not to satisfy your God, to prop faith in his grace and glory. He tells us about the future so that we might live well in the present and get ready for what's to come. Even from his reluctance, Jonah wound up saving folks on the boat. Because of his disobedience, some folks on the boat got saved. How does God deal with our disobedience? Jonah 3:1. In the light of God's omnipresence and omnipotence and omnipresence, it's easy to wonder why Christians still attempt to run from the Lord. Jonah certainly demonstrated that it could not be done. And I'll say it cannot be done. And yet many people still insist on trying. Why? Sometimes they act out of pure selfishness. We have an unlimited capacity to believe we know what is best for us, regardless of what God says. Sometimes we balk out of fear. We worry that we might not succeed, or others will criticize our efforts, or that our obedience will cost us too much. What we fail to recognize, however, is the much higher price of fleeing from the Lord. Jonah paid dearly for rebellion. Not only did he suffer in terror and guilt, but he also jeopardized the lives of men whom God wanted to save. Jonah overlooked two essentials that we should all keep in mind. First, he incorrectly assumed that fleeing from God would release him from having to obey God. He never imagined how persistent the Lord can be when he calls us to the duty station. Eventually, Jonah found that God will pursue us in love, even to the depths of the sea, in order to conform us to his will, his plan for our lives.
but I simply will not be deterred by a slippery disobedience. Second, Jonah forgot that by running from God, he went nowhere but down. In addition, when we run from God, we cannot help but inflict heavy punishment on those whom God wants to bless. How many parents walk away from their child and say, I can do what I want. It's my own life. Come on now. No, it's not. If you are a Christian, God tells you, you are not your own. In fact, you were bought at a price, and both your body and your spirit belong to God. You cannot leave a child fatherless or motherless, reaping lifelong pain and suffering. Nor can you sin against the Lord without paying a terrible price yourself and hurting others in the process. Despite these awful realities, it is also offers the second or third or fourth or even malignant. The child as long as it was necessary, and he will do the same for you. God wants this. And as we get into our last Jonah verse, it says, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster. And he had on them over and over again in Scripture. We see that God does not want to bring calamity or judgment upon anyone. So he pleads with us and urges us to repent. Only when no other option remains does judgment fall. God will never turn away from a truly repentant heart, even if that heart beat in a man who tried to run away from him. The Lord often uses affliction not to punish us, but to bring us back to him. You can't outrun God. We cannot outrun God. And from Micah, our last words for this morning. If there's someone that has a word from God, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. But it says in Micah 2:7, do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly. God desires to bless us, not punish us. So even his words of rebuke and correction are good for us. Let the righteous rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. Psalms 141:5. We just read that not too long ago. And in Micah 3:8, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power. 2 Timothy 1:7. And that power comes from his Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 1:8. And Ephesians 3:16. And that is our word this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, as we get ready to wrap up the word today. And it has been rich. Woo! It's been rich. I hope it was rich for you, because it sure was rich for me. Good morning. Let go of what was and have faith in what will be. God has more for you than what you have had before. How about faith-filled Friday? And that's exactly what he did. He saved Nineveh because they had faith. He saved Jonah, even though he was reluctant in what he needed to do for God. And we have a caller. Caller 6962, your line is open.
Good morning. This is Evangelist Teresa Green. God said we must be holy, for he is holy. We must not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him.
Amen.
And that is what the Lord told me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist. We appreciate your word, and we appreciate you listening this morning. And as always, that's all we got today, family. Thank you so much for listening in. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for a word from the Lord. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And remember what Sister Carolyn told us this morning. Let go of what was and have faith in what will be. God is more for you than what you have had before. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work, y'all. Who do we work for? We work for God. Please join me on Sunday morning, God wills and God willing, at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we will be in the New Testament, Revelations, and we will be in the Old Testament in Psalms. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are God's children and he loves you. And remember, as you have done, it shall be done to you. But we all know that with repentance, care of us, he will take your mess and make it a message. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.